Today's daf is Chulin daf Nun Dalid. We left off on the bottom of daf Nun Gimel and Beis, and we were discussing all the halachos relating to a drusa. In what way drusa, clawing, one animal clawing another, will turn the animal into a trefa. We're going to talk about bedika for a drusa, how you can tell if the animal is a drusa or not. Then the Gemara is going to have an interesting conversation between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, where it seems that Reish Lakish forgot who Rav was, and Rabbi Yochanan had to explain to him who Rav was. And then the Gemara is going to discuss if simanim are both, the simanim of the animal are both shmuta and nishchuta, which one do you assume came first, that it became detached or that it became shechted? Big nafkamina, if the animal is a trefa, the animal is kasher. The Gemara is then going to, right before the Mishnah, tell us that there may be other things that it would seem the animal would die from, other diseases, other events, other traumas that the animal would die from, but we're not allowed to add to the list of trefos. We have a list of trefos, we don't make up new ones. And then the next Mishnah we're going to have on the bottom of Nundalad Amad Aleph is going to go through not the list of trefos, but the list of ksheros. What kinds of things could happen to an animal that would not make it a trefa? Which then begs the obvious question that the Gemara is going to deal with right away. If you have two Mishnahs, one that says Elu Trefos and one that says Elu Ksheros, what about everything else? Meaning, is Elu Ksheros Dafka and everything else is a trefa? Or is Elu Trefos Dafka and everything else is a Kshera? And then the Gemara is going to discuss, parenthetically, the Indian of standing for people, for Talmid Chachamim, for Osei Mitzvah, especially while you're in the middle of your workday. And then at the very end of the Daf, going well into tomorrow's Daf, we're going to have a discussion about the Mishnah is going to say that if there's a Nekev in the Gargeras that's the size of Ad Ki Isar Ha'italki, it would make it it would be Kosher Ad Ki Isar Ha'italki. So the question is, Ad V'Ad B'Chal or Ad V'Lo Ad B'Chal? What if it's exactly the size of an Isar Ha'italki? There are going to be six Rayas, but that's going to be tomorrow's daf. So let's pick up from Rav Nachman Amar, where we left off yesterday. Rav Nachman Amar, toward the bottom of the page, on daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis. So says Gemara, Rav Nachman Amar, Bekotz Ad Shetinakev L'Chalal. If the animal has a hole in it with a thorn, so then that is only going to make it a trefa if it goes all the way into the chalal, into the hollow part of the animal. Then you have to assume that it's going to, that it was menakev the intestines and would make it a trefa, because there's no way to really check for a tiny puncture. So you have to assume that if it went all the way to the chalal of the behema, then in that sense you assume that it was menakev enough to make it a trefa. Bedrusa, it's only going to be aser mishayadim baser keneged b'nei me'ayim, that if the flesh around the b'nei me'ayim, around the intestines, has reddened, then you know that the animal is in fact a drusa. Razvid masnihachi, but Razvid taught it as follows: bedrusa mishayadim baser keneged b'nei me'ayim. When it comes to a drusa, it's only aser if it reddens the flesh around the b'nei me'ayim. B'simanim, but if it was nidras in the simanim, one animal clawed another animal in its neck, right by the simanim, then only if the simanim themselves become red is it going to be considered to be a trefa. If the simanim themselves do not become red, it will not be a trefa. That's what the Rashba points out, that when we say it becomes red, it means mitzad hachalal shalahem, that not the outer part of the simanim, but when you open up the simanim, the inside of the simanim become red. Only then do we assume that the venom has worked all the way through the simanim and has actually made the animal a trefa. That's what the Ran writes as well, because since there are two oros to the simanim, there's an outer or and an inner or, it's only going to be a trefa that actually reaches the inner or. However, the Rush and Simon Gimel writes that even if the simanim are reddened on the outside, it's enough to make it a trefa, and that's what the Gemara is talking about over here. So fundamental machlokas rishonim about how far the redness by the simanim have to go in order to make the animal a trefa. So now the Gemara is going to discuss what the shear of drisa is when it happens to the kana, when an animal is clawed on the kana. So Amra Papi, Bayi Rav Bibi Bar Abaye. Rav Bibi Bar Abaye raised the following shaila. Every time this comes up in Shas, we always pronounce the name Rav Bibi Bar Abaye. However, the Maloha Roim, my son the Masifta, he points out that the Maloha Roim in Maseches Brachos points out that is a mispronunciation. His name is not Bibi, because that name actually appears in Tanakh. That name actually appears in Sefer Ezra, in Perek Beis. It says Bnei Vevai Sheish Meos Esrim Ushlosha. So it's probably Rav Vevai Barabaye. Can't do it. By Rav Bibi Barabaye. Rav Bibi Barabaye raises the following shaila. Veshet Nukuvaso B'mashuhu. when there's a hole in the veshet, even a mashu is enough to make it a trefa. Drusasa b'mashu, and therefore the same is true if there's drisa, even just a mashu would make it a trefa. Kana nukuvasa b'keisir. By a kana, the nukiva has to be the size of an isar in order to make it a trefa. So drusasa b'kama. How much of a drisa in the kana would make it a trefa? So basa debaya hadar pashta. After he asked the question, he answered it. Echad zeh v'echad zeh b'mashuhu. When it comes to drisa, when it comes to a clawing, even on the veshet, if it's just a mashu, it would be enough to make it a trefa. My taima ziare mikla kaliva azil. If we assume that if the venom had done enough to make a tiniest hole in the veshet, the venom is not done yet. It's going to continue to go through that area and also make a hole in the kana. And we know by a kana, it's bimashu. So by seeing the venom having affected the veshet, we know that it's going to affect the kana as well, and it's therefore going, the animal's therefore considered a trefa. Yasar Yisuk Bar Shmuel Bar Marta Kameder Rav Nachman. Yisuk Bar Shmuel Bar Marta was sitting in front of Rav Nachman, Yasav Kamar, and he was saying over the following halacha. Drusa Sha'amru, when the Chum say we have to be worried about a drusa, Tzricha Bedika Keneged B'nei Me'ayim, it means that you need to check the entire area of the intestines, on the back, and the stomach, and the sides of the animal, any place where the B'nei Me'ayim are housed. But if the flesh is not reddened at all in those areas, then you don't have to check other areas of the animal, because it's not considered to be a trefa, i.e. the drisa, unless the drisa happens connected to the meayim. I mean, if an animal claws another animal on its foot or something like that, that's not going to make it a trefa. Only connected to the meayim, only the basic goof of the animal. Amar le Rav Nachman, hello Kim, lashon of a shvua, mori barav mikapa viadatma. Rav used to show that the area where you check on the animals from the kappa until the atma, which we're going to see exactly what that means, but it essentially means the larger part of the body of the animal has to be checked for the reddening of the flesh in order to see whether it is a trefa or not. Now it's interesting that the Gemara had said Amr Le Rav Chia that drusa sha'amru, says Machlok Rishonim, whether there's a bedika for a vaday drusa. I mean, let's say you know that the animal was a drusa. Does bedika help? Right, you saw another animal clawed it right in the hollow part of the, you know, in the major part of the body of the animal. Is it only a suffix drusa that were materially de bedika, but a vaday drusa? You say forget it. There's no bedika that's going to help. I know that it's a drusa. Or no, even if you saw that there was an attack, but you can tell, you can do a bedika to see whether the attack did anything, whether there was any venom that was released in the attack. Tosfos proves from our sugya that there is bedika for a vaday drusa, because over here we're talking about doing a bedika and it has to be talking about a vaday drusa. How do I know it has to be talking about a vaday drusa? Because Rav showed how to do the bedika, and in yesterday's daf we learned that Rav wasn't choshesh for a suffix drusa. Rav thought that by a suffix drusa is nothing to be choshesh for. So what's Rav doing a bedika for? It must be, therefore, says Tosfos, that it is a vaday drusa. However, according to those shitos that for a vaday drusa, bedika does not help, which seems to be the shita of the Rambam, the Or Sameach writes on the Rambam in Hilchos Shechita Perkei Halacha Ches, they have to say that over here we're talking about a suffix drusa. Rav isn't choshesh for a suffix drusa. Why would he require a bedika? It must be that we're talking about where you have an animal that was a vaday drusa that gets mixed in with other animals that were not drusa. That's what created the suffix. So it is a vaday drusa in a certain sense, and that's why Rav is requiring a bedika, but each animal is only a suffix. So bedika is working in that sense. That's how the Or Sameach threads the needle a little bit to be able to figure out how do you have at the same time that it's something that Rav would require a bedika for, and yet it's still only a suffix drusa. Anyway, my kappa, so we said Rav showed that the area they have to check on the animals, mi kappa viad atma. So what is the kappa that he's referring to? Ile ma kappa diyada, if it's like the shoulder bone, hainu keneged b'nei me'ayim. That's exactly what we said when we said keneged b'nei me'ayim. That doesn't add anything. Ele mi kappa democha, it must mean the skull of the animal. They actually have to check from the skull all the way down to the thigh, the adatma, until the thigh of the animal. The Torah writes in Yardei Siman Nun Zayin, Bodkin mi keneged ha-moach ad sof ha'yirei chayim, from where the brain is until the end of the thighs of the animal. And the Beis Yosef writes that it means until the tzumas hagidim, because the tzumas hagidim is the last place on the animal that it could actually become a treifa. Below the tzumas hagidim, even if you peel away all the flesh, it wouldn't make it a treifa. So that's what it means. That's where you have to check in the animal to see if the drisa affected it. Kisalik Rav Chiya bar Yosef, when Rav Chiya bar Yosef went to Eretz Yisrael from Bavel, Ashkin Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish Yasvi V'Kamri, he saw Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish were having conversation, and they were saying drusa shamru tzricha bedika keneged bnei mayayim, that when an animal is attacked, is clawed, you need a bedika in the inside of the animal keneged where the intestines are. So amaluhu helukim mori barav mikapa viadatma. So Rav Chiya bar Yosef said, yeah, Rav used to show mikapa viadatma the entire part of the animal that required a bedika, which again we said means from the brain all the way to the thigh bone of the animal. You need to check that there's no redness in the internal organs of the animal. Amrle Reish Lakish, now an unusual conversation. Reish Lakish says to Rabbi Yochanan, Manu Rav, Umanu Rav, Veloy Adanalei. Who is this Rav that people keep quoting? Every time someone comes from Bavel Dar Yisrael, they quote Rav. They're saying, Rav said this, Rav said that. I never heard of such a guy named Rav. Who is this guy? So Amrle Rabbi Yochanan, Velo Nihirelei, La Oso Talmud, Shashimesh as Rebbe Rabba. Don't you remember that Talmud who was Meshamesh, the great rabbi? Who's the great rabbi? So it's Rabbi Yuda Hanasi. Now the Gemara, the assumption is Rashi says that it's Rabbi Yuda Anasi. That's Rabbi Rabba, the Rabbi Yuda Anasi. But many Achronim say that it has to be Rabbi Yuda Nisiya, the grandson of Rabbi Yuda Anasi, who lived in the times of the Amoraim. Rabbi Yuda Anasi is from the times of the Tanaim. Rabbi Yuda Nisiya is just another way of saying Rabbi Yuda Hanasi, but just to differentiate between the grandfather and the grandson who had the same name, we call one of them Rabbi Yuda Anasi, that's Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and we call the other one Rabbi Yuda Nisiya. Okay, but you don't remember Rav? It used to be Mishamesh Rabbi Yuda Anasi? And he was also Meshamish Rabbi Chiya. Velukim Kolos and Shanim Shashimesh Oso Talmud BeYeshiva Anishi Mashi BeAmida. And Rabbi Yochanan says the entire time that he was here, when he would be Meshamish BeYeshiva, he would sit down. I would stand up the whole time because he was so much more chashuv than I am. Uman Gavar Hu Gavar Bekula. And you want to know what he's great at? What makes him so great? He's great at everything. He's great in Torah and Chassidus and everything. He's the whole deal. He's amazing. So I can't believe that you don't remember who this is. It's interesting over here. The Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't sit when Rav was in the yeshiva. The Gemara later on, Kuflam Zayin Ram Beis, is going to tell us Rabbi Yochanan was made that when he was sitting together with Rav in front of Rebbe, it just says it like the, you know, a matter of factly. Rabbi Yochanan, oh yeah, when I was sitting together with Rav in front of Rebbe. So apparently there was some point where he was sitting down. He didn't stand up the entire time. It's also amazing that Reish Lakish wouldn't remember who Rav is. That's it's hard to imagine that someone would forget a personality like Rav. There's a Sefer Ateres Shaul that raises the question in the name of the Ora Ner Rav, how could it be that Reish Lakish wouldn't remember Rav, who was Meshamish Rebbe all those years? So he says, it must be this Araya Teshitas HaTosos. Tosos says in Daflam Chesam Ad Aleph that Rav's name was not Rav. His name was really Abba. And because of his Chashivus, they called him Rav. So it could be that he remembered the guy, he remembered him, but everyone called him Abba back in the day when he was being Meshamish Rebbe. No one would call him Rav in front of his own Rebbe, so they all called him Abba, and now he's in Bavel, he became this big guy, and everyone's calling him Rav now, in the Lashon of Chashivus. So he said, I don't know who this Rav is, and Rabbi Yochanan is just reminding him, no, it's Abba, it's our old friend Abba. Sometimes a person goes to yeshiva with someone, and they remember, you know, he's their buddy, he's their, you know, sometimes I meet like an older person, and they say, oh, who's your Rebbe? I say, Rav Herschel Schatz. Ah, Herschel, you know, like, who do you think you are? He's been learning for 15, 60 years, 70 years, and you think you're the same? But you know, that's the way you remember. You remember it's just one of my buddies. That's l'chora against the sheet of Rashi, right? Rashi writes that it's the opposite. That his name was really Rav, and Abba was a lashon of chashivos that they had. That's how Rashi understands. But okay, you have to figure something out. Why Reish Lakish didn't remember Rav? Anyway, miad pasuk Reish Lakish va'amar. So Reish Lakish started speaking, and he said, "Biram." Now I remember, and we should remember him for good. It's interesting also that he calls him Oso Ish in the Tshuvas Torah Chaim. He says, you're not allowed to call someone Oso Ish because that's Yeshu is Oso Ish. But he says, Oso Ish Latov. Maybe that's a Yad in the word Latov, and you're allowed to call someone Oso Ish. Also, you should remember him well. Sha'amru Shmuel Mipiv, that they set over a teaching in the name of Rav, that if you have a behemor, an oaf, and the gargeres, the kana, is Shmuta Ush. ushchuta is both removed and also shechted. So ksheira, it's kasher. Sheyev shal shmuta shetas yashchuta. Because if it's already shmuta, it could not then be shechted. So you know that the shechita happened first, and then it was removed from its spot. So you don't have to worry that it was a trefa before the shechita. It was shechted first. It was perfectly fine. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Yavi V'Yakif. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you shouldn't be matir based on that svara. What you should do is bring a gargeres, cut it somewhere else, and then you compare the cuts to see if they look similar to each other. If they look similar to each other, then it's a trefa, because you see that the initial cut also could have happened after the shechita, after the akiras hagargeras. And if they're not similar to each other, then it's mistaver that the first cut was made before it was ne'akar, and it's going to be kosher. So you have to do that kind of test. So the Gemara brings the sheet of Rav Nachman. I'm Rav Nachman lo shanu ela shel tafas basimanim. Rav Nachman adds a qualifier. This din that according to Rav, shchuta and shmutas ksheira, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, you need to do this hakafa, this comparison, and if they're not similar to each other, it would be a kasher. That's only if you weren't tofes the simanim at the time of the shchita. That's when the shchita would be kasher. Aval tafas basimanim v'shachat. But if you grabbed the simanim at the time of the shchita and you shechted it, then it's going to be a trefa, because when you tofes simanim efshel shmuta shtas shchuta, then everyone would agree it would be possible for the gargaris to be shmuta, to be removed and yet be shechted as well. And rechoshesh that that's maybe what happened before the shchita, and then it would be in fact a trefa. Okay, zaklal. The Mishnah said that there is a rule that anything that's ein kamoa chaya, any disease, any trauma that happens to an animal, that an animal cannot survive, that's going to be a trefa. So let's see, what is the phrase zaklal coming to include? So lasuye shev shmeitza. It's coming to include the seven different teachings that we had of different types of trefos that were taught by Amoraim that were not explicitly stated in the Mishnah. So the way the Mishnah referred to them is just by saying this zakla, that anything that an animal can't recover from is going to be a trefa. Debei Yosef Rishba, the family of Yosef, the hunter, machu benida gashi v'katli. They used to have a practice. They would take a stick and they would hit the animal on the gidanasha, and that would be such a devastating blow to the animal when they would hit it on the gidanasha that it would ultimately die from that blow. But they would then quickly shecht it before it actually died, before it became a nevela. So they wanted to know, is that a trefa now? Because they know that the animal is going to die from this, right? So does that make it a trefa? So also kamei de rabbi b'mseira. They asked rabbi b'mseira about this. Trefos yesh. You think we could add to the trefos? Ein l'cha l'mashamon l'chacham. The only trefos we have are the ones that the Chacham taught us about, so you can't add any new trefos. Debei Rav Papa Bar Abba Rishba, the people of the family of Rav Papa Bar Abba, the hunter, machu b'kuli v'katli. They used to shoot an arrow into the back of the animal that would go through the animal's kidney, but in a way that it wouldn't make the animal trefa by the textbook definition of trefa. So also came to Rabbi Abba. So they came to Rabbi Abba. Amar lahu b'chilos v'al trefas yesh. What, you think we could add to the trefas? The only trefas we have are the trefas that the chamim had, and therefore, even though this looks like something that would kill an animal, and it would, nevertheless, it can't be called the trefas. So if you shecht it before the animal dies, it's perfectly fine. What do you mean it's not a trefa? You see that animals die from this. How do you not call that a trefa? Isn't a trefa any disease or ailment that the animal is going to die from? So Gemiri di badri lasama chaya. We have a tradition that when it comes to these particular things, there is a way to give the animal a refuah. That if you know the right medicine, the right medication to give the animal would be able to recuperate. So it's not something that's irreversible, and therefore it is not going to make the animal a trefa. That's what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Shechita, Perek Yud, Halacha Yud Beis Yud Gimel. He writes, Ve'ein lahosif al trefos elu klal. We don't add to any of the trefos, shal kol she'iru lebehema l'chayo l'ov chutz me'elu shamanu chach me'doros harishonu v'skimu alein batei dine Yisrael. Efshar shetichya, anything that's not mentioned by the Mishnayis and the Gemara, it's possible that it will live. V'afidlu noda lanu mi'derech harafur she'ein, so Halachos. The Rambam says, look, I'm a doctor, but even if, he doesn't say, look, I'm a doctor, he says, even if, we know for sure that it's not going to live. And the Ram says, and it could be that there are many things that are listed as trefos that according to our medical knowledge, it's not going to die from, that we're able to cure the animal from. Ein lecha ela ma shemanu chacham. Shenemer al pi haTorah sheyirucha. That this has to go with what the chacham said. That's the halacha. The halacha does not change. The Rivash writes in the Tshuva in Simtav Mem Zayin. Vim tadin bedinei atreifos al pi chachmei refua. Schar harbe titol mina katzavim. If you were to judge hilchos treifos based on current medical knowledge, the butchers will probably pay you a lot of money. Ki be'emes yahavchu rubam mimaves l'chayim. Because you'll be able to take a lot of animals that otherwise we would have assumed were lamaves and make them l'chayim and umichayim lamaves. V'yachlifu chay b'meis. And you'll switch a chay for a mace. We don't do any of that. We follow our traditions. So that's why we follow whatever the halachos of trefos are. Okay, now that we've discussed all the trefos, the Mishnah now moves on to discuss ve'elu ksheros b'behema. The following things to happen to behema that will not render the animal trefa. Nikva gargeras. The gargeras has a hole in it. Oshanistika. Or it has a slit in it. Ad kama techsar. How much of the gargeras has to be missing where the animal would still be a kosher? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, ad kisar yitalki. Up until the size of an isar yitalki, the animal is still kosher. Larger than that, the animal is going to be not kosher. It's going to be a trefa. Nivchasal gugolas. If a little bit of the skull is missing, velonikev krom shalmoach, but the membrane around the brain is not punctured. Nikev halev, but velolabes chalalo. If there's a hole in the heart, but it doesn't go all the way to the chamber of the heart, nishvara shidra, if the spine is broken, but v'lo nifsa kachut shala, but the spinal column is not snapped, nitla kaved, if the liver is missing, but v'nishtayre men a kazayis, you still have a kazayis left of the liver still in the animal, hemseis ubeis hakosos shenikvu, the two of the stomachs called the hemseis and the beis hakosos that are connected to each other, that have a hole, zelutoch zeh, from one to the other, nitala tchol, if the spleen is taken, nitla kleos, if the kidneys are removed, nita lechia tachton, if the lower jaw is removed, nitla emshala, if the uterus is removed, v'charusa, or if you have a lung that is dried out to the point that it's hardened, bidei shamayim, because of something that happened, some event that frightened the animal, that caused its lung to react in that way, hagluda, or an animal's outer skin is totally peeled off, remeir machshir v'cham poslin. So all these other things were kasha, and then the last one, hagluda, is a new sentence, remeir machshir v'cham poslin. When it comes to hagluda, remeir's machshir, and the cham are poslin, those behemoths, that makes it a trefa, because it's not able to live without an outer level of skin. So now, we have like this stira over here, because on the one end, we have a list of elu trefos. Sounds like those are the only trefos, and everything that's not on the list is kosher. And then we just had a mission of elu ksheros. Sounds like, yeah, those are kosher. Everything that's not on that list is going to be a trefos. Itmar. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, elu trefos dafka. When we say elu trefos, it means dafka. Those are the things that are trefos. And other than that, other diseases that happen will not make the animal a trefer. Shimon Lakish Amar, elu ksheros dafka. No, our mission that we just read that says elu ksheros, that's to tell me those are dafka, and anything else is not going to be kosher. So the Gemara explains where each one got their shita from. So b'mayka miflagi, what were these? Where did this machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish emanate from? Where the when it comes to meaning, what particular issue are they really arguing about? So b'drav masna, they're arguing about what Rav Masna said. Da'am Rav Masna. Hai buka da atma. If you have the thigh bone that's sticking out, or the socket that's sticking out, to shaf mi duchte, that it was uprooted from its place, meaning it was dislocated from the socket, right? The thigh bone was dislocated from the socket, trefa. Rav Masa said it's a trefa. It's not mentioned in the Mishnah at all. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar elu trefos dafka. Rabbi Yochanan says, well, the Mishnah that said elu trefos, that's dafka, that whatever's not in the Mishnah is not a trefa. So tana trefos, Vitana Zaklal. The Mishnah said trefos. It listed a whole list of trefos, and it also said Zaklal. Anything that can't survive will also be a trefa, to tell us that the Mishnah is not a fully exhaustive list, that there are other things that will also make the animal a trefa, as long as it's something that the animal can't recover from. V'chazye l'drav Masna, and the Tana saw this din that Rav Masna said, that a behema that has this dislocated thigh, that it's going to be a trefa, and he understood that if he's not
not megala his das, that the din is not that way, people are going to think that the animal becomes a treifa in such a way. Da asya b'zaklal. They're going to assume that that could be included in the zaklal of the Mishnah. My taima, why is it that that you learn it from the zaklal? The damu linatule, because it's very similar to something that's nuttled, something that's missing from the animal. Dislocation and missing are very similar to each other. So people might assume that the zaklal includes a dislocation as well. So that's why Tana elu trefos hanu de trefa hadrav masna ksheva. That's why it had to say elu trefos, a lashon of a miut, that only these are trefos, but the likes of Rav Masna, of the ailment that Rav Masna describes, of the dislocated thigh, that would not be included. That, in fact, would be a trefos. So that's why elu is dafka, as opposed to what Rav Masna said. Rav Shimon Lakishamar, no, elu ksheros dafka. That elu ksheros is dafka, and the dislocated thigh would be a trefa. Tana trefos, tana zaklal. It lists trefos in the first Mishnah, and then gives a klal that anything that has a similar type of ailment that it will die from will also be a trefa. The chazil of Rav Masna to lo asya b'zaklal, and the Tana realized that no one is going to apply Rav Masna's din based on the zaklal. My taima, why won't anyone compare the dislocated thigh to the zaklal in the first Mishnah? Because lav lenu kuvei damya, v'lav l'fsukei damya. Because all of the different trefos that we had in that Mishnah were something that had a hole in it, something that was that was nifsak, something that was nital, and dislocation is none of those things. So you would never associate Rav Masna's din with anything it says in the first Mishnah. And I would therefore assume that when it's a dislocated thigh, it's kosher. So Tana, that's why the Tana has to go out of its way in the second Mishnah and say, Elu ksheros, haniu de ksheros, hadar of masna trefa. That no, only what we list in the Mishnah that we just read today is kosher, but the case of a masna is actually going to be a trefa. So what Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan are really arguing about is dafka, a dislocated thigh. They're not arguing about too many cases. It's just a question of, is the word elu in the first Mishnah coming to tell me that the dislocated thigh is kosher, or is the word elu in the second Mishnah coming to tell me that the dislocated thigh is a trefa? Gufa, amar of masna, hai Buka da atma de shaf mituchte trefa. That's the statement of Rav Nachman about the dislocated thigh. Rava Amar Ksheira, Rava disagreed, said that it's kosher. The yisak nive, but if it's the gid that connects the thigh bone to the thigh is severed, then trefa, then it's for sure trefa. Vilchsa ifsik nami ksheira, adimis akle isakule. And the halacha is that even if that gid is severed, it's still going to be kosher until the wound gets so big that it gets rotted out and it's totally missing. Then only then would we say that it's a trefa, because that is something that can't be that it can't ever recover from. Okay, now the Mishnah said ad kama techsar. The Mishnah had wondered how much of a chisaron do you have to have in the gargeras in order for it to be still be kosher, and how big does it have to get? At what point does it get so big? Does the missing piece of the gargaris get so big that the animal becomes a trefa? So Rav Shmuel Gamliel said, until the size of an isser hitalki. So I know two things from that. I know that anything smaller than an isser hitalki, any hole smaller than an isser hitalki, is still good. I know anything larger than an isser hitalki is not good. Here's what I don't know. What if it's exactly the size of an isser hitalki? Which side of the line does that go on? What about an isser hitalki itself? So Amar Zi'iri. Zi'iri told the Bnei Yeshiva in Bavel, Atun delo mischami luchun shiura, you who never saw an isser hitalki that Rabbi Gamliel was talking about, meaning sometimes Chazal will give an example from whatever was common in their times. So the isser hitalki, when it was said when it was given, when Rav Shimon Gamliel gave it as a shiur, everyone had isser hitalkis. They knew exactly what an isser hitalki was. But in Bnei Bavel, they didn't use that currency, so they never saw an isser hitalki. That's why we always have to come up with something that, when we look at maros of dam, we look at ksamim for Hilchos Nida, the stain in Hilchos Nida. So the halacha is that if the stain is less than a gris va'od, then it's not going to be metame. Then we assume that the woman is going to be tahora. So you never hear anyone say gris va'od anymore. What do people say? If it's smaller than an American penny. Chazal didn't have American pennies. They didn't use the American penny. But that's the best way we have to be able to estimate once we do the cheshbonos and we translate it over. So that's why they're poskim that walk around with a penny in their pocket just in case. They have to measure the size of a stain. So you have to use a measurement that makes sense for you, that you're able to understand. So he tells the Talmidim in Babel, you never saw an Issa Yitalki. So you should know, Shi'ure bidinara kur dina'a. The shear is the size of a dinar, that's the kur dina'a. Vavi kipshitu zutrati. And its size is like the smallest pruta of nechoshes. Umishtakcha beini pshiti de pumbedisa. And you can find this amongst the various types of money that they use in pumbedisa. So I'm Rabbi Chana Pitora'a. Rabbi Chana, who was a money changer, Ilaminai Havakai Barnavcha, that once a person came to me, Uboimini Dinara Kordina'a, and he asked me for this type of coin, for this Dinara Kordina'a, Lishari Betrefasa. And the reason he wanted it was not because he needed the money, not because he needed the currency, he wanted to measure trefa. He wanted to measure to see if the nekev in the gargaris of the animal rendered it a trefa or not. So he needed this coin to be able to tell. Uboy Lemekum Mikame. He has such a Talmud Chacham that he comes and he knows that that's the coin that he has to use, and that's why he wants to do the money changing to get that coin. I wanted to stand for him. I wanted to stand up to show him kavod, veloshivkani, but he would not allow me to stand. Amarli, shave bini, shave. He said to me that I should sit because I'm in the middle of my work day. Ein bali umnius rasha and lamun me tamidi chamim bisha shasukin b'malachtam. That people who are working are not allowed to stand for tamidi chamim when they're busy doing their work, because at the time that they stand, they're going to be mevatel from the malacha, and someone's paying them for the malacha. So it's nice that you want to stand for me, but I'm sorry, you're not allowed. You're not allowed to stand for me while you're busy doing your work. You have to go look for more customers. You have to do whatever it is. That's how Rashi explains. Tosfos writes in the name of Rabbi Yaakov Bar Shimshon that the Bar Nafcha was said to Bali Umnios even when they're doing their own malacha. Meaning Rashi understands that they're working for somebody else. So you're on the clock. A guy's paying you by the hour. So you're going to waste time doing other things to show cover to the Talmud Chacham. You're not allowed to do that. Someone's paying you. You're not allowed to do that while someone's paying you. Tosfos says, no, even if no one's paying you, you're doing it yourself. And Ein Rasha'in doesn't mean Ein Rasha'in. It means that you don't have to, that you have no chiv, that normally there's a mitzvah d'oraisa, mipnei seva, talking about darta pnei zaken, you have to stand for a talmud chacham. Zaken means zesha kana chacham, the Gemara Kedushin tells us, you have to stand for a talmud chacham. But you have no chiv to stand for a talmud chacham when you're in the middle of your work day. So that's those are the two deos, Rashi and Tosos, whether he was working for someone else or he was working for himself. It happens to be, it's an interesting discussion that seems very harsh, like how long does it take to stand already? That a boss is going to be upset if you take half a second to stand up. So in the Aruch HaShulchan, he writes that according to the Shach, he quotes a Shach, that the din that it's not appropriate to stand for people when you're in the middle of a work day, that's only when they used to sit on the floor. So it was a big tircha to stand up. But now we sit on chairs, so then there's no issue of baliumnius standing up in the middle of their work day, because it takes a rega kememre. It takes the amount of time that it takes to even say the word rega. It happens right when you can sit right back down. So then we would stand for Talmid Chamim even when you're osek b'malacha. That's what they quote from Rabbi Yashiv. Rabbi Yashiv also pointed out that nowadays bosses aren't makbid about something like that. I mean, they put whatever protections on the internet, because they don't want you spending hours on end, online or whatever. But to stand up for a second, adrab, they recommend you take a stand, stretch. It will increase your blood flow and allow you to concentrate better. So they're happy about you standing once in a while. So if a boss is not makbid about it, then you don't have to worry about it. Anyway, so says Gemara, velo, is it true that Bali Yumnis are not supposed to stop their work in order to stand for Talmid Chachamim? Vatnan, but the Mishnah says Meseches Bikurim, that when the V'yei Bikurim used to bring the Bikurim to Yerushalayim, kol Bali Umnius omdin mipneihem, all the Bali Umnius would stand for them in order to be mechabid them, v'shal and b'shloman, and they would greet them, v'omun lehem, achenu, anshe makomploni, ba'achem b'shalom. The Mishnah's Bikurim describe such a parade of V'yei Bikurim, that people would bring the Bikurim from wherever they're coming, and they would get this beautiful greeting as they're parading through the streets of Yerushalayim. So they would say, anshe makomploni, ba'achem b'shalom. They would greet them that they should come in peace. Shabbos, and so apparently there were mevatel from melacha in order to stand for these mekayme mitzvah, for the people who were doing the mitzvah of mevi'e bikurim. So l'chora, the same should be true for Tamidei Chachamim. If you're standing for Mekayim Mitzvah, you should stand for Tamidei Chachamim. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, you see, from the fact that you don't stand for a Tamidei Chacham when you're in the middle of work, and you do stand for them via Bikurim, so you see, Mipneihem Omdin, Mipnei Tamidei Chachamim Omdin, I'm Rabbi Yosef Bar-Avin, Bo Rei Kam Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita. What's the message? How valuable it is to do a Mitzvah B'Shaita. Shari Mipneihem Omdin, Mipnei Tamidei Chachamim Omdin. That even more valuable than standing for a Tamidei Chacham is standing for a person who's doing a mitzvah b'shaita. Now, the Yehuda writes in the Tshuvin, Madura Kama, or Chaim Simcha Chav Zayin, mitzvah b'shaita is a mitzvah that doesn't apply all the time. A mitzvah comes up only from time to time. So now the person is doing this mitzvah b'shaita in the time where it comes up. So that's a time where you would stand for a person. That's a very chashuva mitzvah. But they would not stand for Tamil Cham. Pnei Yeshua, Maseches Kiddushin, explains that isn't Talmud Torah a mitzvah also? It's more chashuva than any other mitzvah. So aren't you standing for a kind of mitzvah when you're standing? So first of all, it's not mitzvah b'shaita, because it's a mitzvah tediris. It's a mitzvah, but Pnei Yeshua also explains that they weren't learning at the time. These were just Talmid Chacham that happened to be, if a Talmid Chacham was learning, maybe Einech Nami, maybe you would stand for him. But this wasn't at a time that they were learning. But Pashtus is that it's mitzvah b'shaita, whereas Talmud Torah is something that's tadir, that happens constantly. Mimai says, how do I know that the reason you would stand for the Mevi'e Bikurim is because Chaviva mitzvah b'shaita? Maybe there was another reason that they would stand for Mevi'e Bikurim. Dilma, Kadesh Lotei Nimtza Machshilin Lasalavo. Maybe the reason they stood for the Mevi'e Bikurim is because they didn't want the next year that the Mevi'e Bikurim should be discouraged and not want to bring the Bikurim. And in order to encourage them to want to bring the Bikurim, they had to stand for them. So it's not necessarily a raya that Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita is a greater kiyum than standing for Tamidei Chachamim. This idea of standing for Osei Mitzvah applies in a number of places. That's what the Bar Tanura points out, I think, that when they ever been to a funeral, so they bring the mace in and everyone stands up. So why are you standing? Who are we standing for? So everyone thinks they're standing for the mace. No, we didn't stand for him when he was alive. Why are we going to stand for him when he's dead? He didn't become more chashuv now that he died. Right? So what do we stand? We're standing for the Chevra Kadisha. They're Mekayme Mitzvah at that time. They're the ones bringing the mace in. So we're standing for the people who are going and doing the mitzvah of bringing the mace in. That's what the minhag has developed. Some say it's minhag shtus or whatever. In recent years, the minhag has developed that when a chassan or a kala walks down the aisle, that people stand up for them. If there's any basis for it, it's likely that that's the basis. We have to point out in the name of Salvation, that's likely that's the basis for it, that the chassan's gone on his way to do a mitzvah, so you stand up for people who are going to do a mitzvah. That's what they say, why we stand by Yivarech David, because the minhag is to give tzedakah right around that time. So if everyone's running to go give tzedakah, so we stand up for the Osei Mitzvah, for the people who are going to give tzedakah. There's no reason, it's not a Dover Shebekdusha, you're not standing for the Dover Shebekdusha part of davening, it's not a Dover Shebekdusha, you're standing for the Osei Mitzvah. That's an Indian that we have to stand for Chaviv Mitzvah B'Shaita, but we stand for people who are going to do a mitzvah. Okay, now the Mishnah had said the Shita of Rishon Gamliel that the Shear of a Nekev and a Gargeres, that an animal will not be a Trefas ad Isra Italki. So Amar of Nachman, Kisela ki Yeser Misela. You know, when it came to a Trefa of a Chisaron in the Golgolas, we said that the Shear is the size of a Sela. So we said, what if it's exactly a Sela? So that's the same as bigger than a Sela, that the animal would be a Trefa if the Nekev is a Sela. So the same would be true in the Nekev and the Gargeres, which Rosh Hashanah said is the size of an Isar. Ki Isar would mean Ki Yeser, would mean Ki Isar, would be the same as larger than a Ki Isar. Meaning if it was exactly the size of an Isar, it would turn out that the animal is a Trefa. So even if it was an Isar Mitzumtzum. Alma, Kasav Rav Nachman, what you see that Rav Nachman holds that Ad Velo Ad Bechlal. Then Rav Shimon Gamliel says Ad Ki Isar, from the tiniest hole until the size of an Isar, means until but not including the size of an Isar. That whenever we have the word Ad, it means up until but not including that size. So based on that, one ha'ara, that it's ad v'lo ad b'chal, the Gemara is going to go into a long discussion well into tomorrow's daf with six different rayos, whether ad v'ad b'chal or ad v'lo ad b'chal. In general, when we say ad, is it up until and including, or up until and not including? Be'ez Hashem, we'll get into that tomorrow.